glad Joy to be with you. It really has. I think one of the joys is getting to know all your staff. And, you know, you're interesting because I think there are four that I got to go out to eat with, three young guys and one really old guy with a young wife. Okay, that's your pastor. All right. It's just been a joy because I didn't want to call Brother Sherwin old, so I left him out of that one, okay? And it has. It's great to be with your kids, too. When you think about the Wilds of New England or the Wilds of North Carolina or Camp Joy or Northland or Southland, et cetera, I encourage you to pray. I really do. Because it's kind of the front lines for some of the kids who never, ever go to church. And they come to camp with a friend. And if people say, is camping a biblical thing, a model? There's not a lot about camping in the Bible, okay? There's a lot about the church, but not about camping. In fact, the only thing I could find was Moses. He had a travel camp. It was a long camp, about 40 years. And God was the food service manager. So that was pretty cool. All right? And you did have that one. But if you wonder what it is, okay, basically, I am a sheepdog. That's what I have the privilege to do. Your pastor is a shepherd, and you're the sheep. And a sheepdog is a tool in the hands of a shepherd. And my focus, of course, with teens, I get to bark at them and bite at their heels and push them back to the shepherd. I warn them of the vultures. You say, is that biblical? I think it is. I found some verses to talk about sheepdogs. I've not yet found a commentator to agree with me, but I have found some. The 23rd Psalm is, what is it called? It's called the what Psalm? Shepherd's Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Explains all the good things of shepherd, but you go all the way to the end. And it mentions and names two sheepdogs. And their names are what? Goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy and ram will follow you and push you right back up to the guy again, okay? So I do appreciate you praying about that because it's a real need. It is. And we do everything we can. And some of the cool things is we have kids that come who have never been to church. But I know all the pastors all throughout New England. And so a kid said, I don't have a church. I said, buddy, will you go if I find you one? And how many times it's been so cool to call a pastor. They will go and pick them up and all kinds of things like that. So it's really, really special, okay? So it has been a joy to be with you. And I hope we even take Wednesday night, just pray. Pray. Talk to God. That's prayer. Don't be robotic. Don't be repetitive. Just talk to God and share your heart with him, okay? Couple other things I want to mention. I did meet a couple people that homeschool. We do have a live homeschool chapel because in New England, if we have 180 campers, 170 of them are homeschoolers. So every Wednesday during the school year, 11 to 11:30, we do a homeschool chapel, and kids come attend it from Australia and all over the world, okay? And it really is a blessing, just a simple Bible teaching there. The other thing is, when you take the Word of God, and want to make it very, very special, slow down, take a breath, and study. You have a wonderful pastor, and everything I hear about him, the guy, anybody that can study from 10 o'clock at night till 2 in the morning, he's got good stuff for you, you know? And you can be very, very privileged to have a set of pastors and staff that really, really love you guys, because they do. And I'm not just saying that, they really do. But we need to feed ourselves, too. Like, what is the fourfold secret of outrageous, contagious joy? That's the book of Philippians. How do you live a God-centered life in a self-centered world? That's the book of Titus, okay? Contagious. That's 1 Thessalonians. Paul was only there 3 weeks, and they had contagious joy and contagious love and contagious hope, and it spread like wildfire. So you take 6 weeks and slowly walk through these, and once again, all of these you can get from the Wilds website. They're generally pretty inexpensive. Hope you're a blessing. We have a bunch of them for the little kids, fourth graders, and what does God say about my sin, and who is God, kind of what we talked about this morning, but in a kid's way, and then there's a new one that I don't have a picture of, yes, Jesus loves me, okay? Okay, I know none of you have ever, ever struggled with fear, depression, and anxiety, okay? But I'm going to mention this anyway. And none of you have ever gotten angry in your life. You don't struggle with bitterness, anger, even frustration. And none of you ever struggle with a thought life, thinking either wickedly or selfishly. But you might know somebody who does. If you do, what changes us? What is the key? We put off, we put on, but the key is being renewed in the spirit of your mind. we allow God to change the way we think. And that's why meditation is so vitally important. Not being in a hurry, but simply meditate. Take the time to slow down and think. And every single one of these little booklets, actually I wrote these. This is what we use for homework for people we counsel. 125 verses in each one. And it just slowly explains it and then applies it. In fact, I would say most of you could probably write it better than I wrote it, but at least it shows you how you take the verse, explain it, and then apply it, okay? And there's a new one, stress less, trust more. Men, any of your wives need that one? Oh, I'm kidding, okay? Let's move on. And I mentioned the daily meditations. If we can be a blessing, anywhere from 5, or I was told today, 8 minutes long, every day, Monday to Friday, year-round, okay? Boom, we got it. So tonight, we're going to talk about the relevancy of Scripture in our high-tech world. How many of you have texted someone in the last week? Let me see your hands. I shouldn't even ask that, okay? How many of you have a cell phone? How many wish you didn't have a cell phone, okay? Yeah. It's taken over our world. It really, really has. But did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? And there's Bible principles on how we can live in this high-tech world. And the best verse to start with is obviously 2 Timothy 3:16. Would you quote it together with me? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Okay, now if you think about this, all Scripture, every single bit of it, from Genesis to Revelation, is God-inspired. What does that mean? Inspiration means what? God breathed. Very good. What does God breathe mean? Inspiration. All right. Remember, I work with kids. You're now all 13 years of age. I'm going to show you what it means. Take your hand. I'm serious. Put it in front of your mouth. And repeat after me. Peter picked a pack of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Pepper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? You cannot speak without breathing out. And God breathed out these words. And then he told his friends like Moses and David and Matthew and Paul. And they wrote them down for us. And it was what we call the precious, precious word of God. God breathed this out just like you breathe out to speak. Okay? And every single bit of it is very profitable for doctrine to teach us what is right. What's the next one? Reproof to teach us what is wrong. The next one, correction, to teach us how to make the wrong right. Instruction in righteousness to teach us how to keep it right. Why? Why did God do this in such detailed form? That the man of God, the woman of God, may be mature. It means mature. Okay? I told the teens this week, I love to listen to girls talk. I told you, you talk about what you think about, and you think about what you love. You know the number one thing that girls, teenage girls talk about? Teenage boys. And they get in a little, did you meet him? Oh, he's like so immature. Okay, nobody likes to be called immature. Nobody. But guys, we can grow old without growing up. We can be very immature in our walk with God at the age of 69. God wants us to be mature, completely ready, completely furnished for all good works, okay? So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one verse, and I'm just going to share with you how you can teach younger people that you love. What is your first name again? Kara. Okay, Kara is a junior in high school, right? And Kara, just for a little bit here, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to pretend to be your dad here, okay? All right. And so Kara comes, and she already asked Mom, and Mom said no. So she comes to Dad. You know how that works out. Dad, please, 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 please. Everybody has one. Can I have a cell phone? Please. She's only 13 at this point, okay? And just begging, begging to have a cell phone. And finally I say, Kara, maybe. Really? Maybe by Christmas I'm going to let you have one. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a verse in the Bible. And then I'm going to give you a 2-month Bible assignment. I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. But Kara, you have to understand that I know you think that all adults think you don't know anything or whatever, but I know you're smart, okay? So you don't let anybody younger or older than you look down on you just because you're young. That's what despise means. But you need to be an example. I want you to be an example to mom and dad. I want you to be an example to the younger kids at church. I want you to be an example to your church, to your sisters running off to Boston. I want you to be an example to all believers. How? Well, here's a couple ways. In word, conversation, that means conduct or lifestyle. In love or charity, spirit, faith, and purity, okay? That's what I want you to do. So that's the overall premise, that you take a verse like this and apply it the way it's supposed to be applied. It's written to those who are young, okay? So be an example in your digital world. And when I say that, let's think about all of us. I saw a little kid, maybe 10 months old, grabbing for the cell phone because he wanted it. No. He was trying to pull it out of his daddy's face so he could talk to his daddy. Now, your wife is not going to do that to you, but she wants to. And ladies, your husband would love to sit down in the living room next to you without you going through Facebook for an hour and a half. Yeah. Okay? So as we think through this, be an example in your digital world. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young, but be an example, Kara, in word and speech and what you say. So, generally, how do we talk to others, or how do we communicate in our digital world? Well, we got cell phone holics and text monsters. And this is just kind of the world that we live in, okay? Let love be without dissimulation. That means don't pretend you love. Don't be hypocritical in your love. Abhor hate that which is evil, and hold on to or cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not lazy or slothful in what you do in your business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience, tribulation, continuance in prayer. You say, man, how does this have anything to do with a cell phone? Communication is communication. Whether it's written on parchment or dealt with your thumbs, texting, it's still communication. So we as parents and as teachers and encouragers, we need to make sure we understand what verses like this is talking about. Here we go. Let your love be real. Are you ignoring others or being rude just because a friend calls? Do you remember when little kids would come, Mom, 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 while you're trying to talk to somebody and you don't want to be interrupted? We let the phone do it all the time. Even to take your phone and lay it next to you at the supper table means, just in case, sir, this goes off, I want you to know that that rattle and that buzz is more important to you, because I'm going to quit talking to you and look at that, okay? Do we just literally ignore others? How about this? Hate evil, love good. Are you careful what you talk or text about? Do you ever allow yourself to get caught up in a conversation that's kind of negative or attacking others? And sometimes, especially for the younger ones, even crude and inappropriate. The verse goes on. Be kind and loving by preferring and honoring others. Are you conscious of those around you? In public places, it's good to keep a 10-foot zone. Keep your phone on vibrate, please. Public places, I fly a lot. When that plane comes down and the wheels go boom, 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 everybody turns on their cell phone. I'm talking so loud, okay? I had a fight with their wives over their cell phones. It's crazy. There are times, if I know that Amber's trying to call me, you know, I'm going to say, hey, Matthew, if you mind, Amber's calling, give me just a second. And then just step away about 10 feet away. And keep your phone on vibrate, please. I am shocked. We almost made it through this morning. We did hear one little song go along. I thought it was nice to have music in the background on somebody's cell phone, okay? But usually somebody's goes off. Now, men, I am so proud of you. You're like cowboys of the old west. You're quick draws. When your phone goes off, watch. Your phone goes off. That's it. When our wives' phones goes off, and they put it in that suitcase, they carry it to church, they're digging around trying to find the thing, okay? And they can't find it, it goes off, and then they leave a note, and then they have to do it again, okay? How about this? Keep a zealous, intense testimony for God. Do those you talk to know that you love God more than you even love them? Do they? Your friends, people you work with, how do they know that you love God? How do you know anybody loves anything? By listening to what they talk about. You talk about what you think about your love, what you love. Again, I don't want to put guilt trips. But if it does put a guilt trip on you and you go home and change, and it's wonderful. Man, when was the last time you grabbed your phone early in the morning, right after spending time with God, and you text what you learned about God in your devotions to your wife? Why not? Why don't you share something with your kids or grandkids? Hey, I was reading Psalm 22 today, and oh, it was so wonderful. Why don't we do that? It doesn't really even make sense. You got a bunch of kids who've worked over the years, and constantly I get texts asking me to pray. Rand, I just had a fight with my fiance. I don't know what to do. Could you please pray for me? Rand, we're really struggling right now. And would you just pray? Even doing that shows that you really, really want God's best for your life there, okay? Kara, don't let anyone talk down on you just because you're young. But be an example for all believers in conversation, life, conduct, and behavior. How do you behave in public in our digital world? We're talking about TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Marco Polo. How do you deal with all these? Well, why don't you scream and say no? And with TikTok, you probably should scream and say no, okay? And the other ones, within reason, maybe you could be a part. All right, let's read this one together. Ready? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, again, when you listen to teenagers talk, the girls, when they get frustrated, they go, whatever. Back in Paul's day, they said, whatsoever. Okay, it has changed just a little bit. Kara, this is a verse I want you to study. And I want you to go to the pastor and ask if maybe he can help suggest maybe a couple commentaries to help you, okay? I want you to write one page, about 700-800 words, on each one of these phrases, okay? Now you study, and I'm going to study. I'm going to do the same thing, okay? And then in 2 months, we're going to go out to a real, real fancy restaurant, you know, and after we leave Burger King, we'll sit down and we'll talk about this, okay? Because this is the verse I want us to base cell phone in our home on. So, here we go. Whatever things are true. And here's a question you ask. Have you ever lied online? Fudged a little bit. Exaggerated. Spread gossip. Lying lips are still an abomination to the Lord, whether you talk it, type it, or text it. It's still lying. They that deal truly are his delight. Okay? How about this? Whatsoever things are honorable. Have you ever dishonored your parents as I talk to kids or dishonored God? With the phone. Oh, Mom, she just drives me insane. She won't even listen. Dad, he's never around. He won't talk. And you're sharing this with friends? And it's so easy to do. To start texting your frustrations to others. What sort of things are just? Have you been fair to friends by talking to them before talking to others? It happens in high school and it happens in churches, doesn't it? Where one will talk about another church, what they're doing, and rather than calling and saying, hey, your good's been evil spoken of, can you help me out here? And it just causes disunity consistently. Whatsoever things are, I'm trying. For whatever reason, it's not clicking here, okay? Somebody push a button back there, guys. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up, but if you could help me back there, okay? We're having a problem. I hope we can figure it out. you see it? Yay, there we go. Okay. What sort of things are pure? Have you involved yourself in impure conversations? We have young kids. I will be extremely careful. Don't get scared. But I have counseled kids who have contemplated suicide because of the filthiness of conversation that leads to even sharing pictures. And then the couple gets mad at each other and the pictures are sent to friends all over. Now the kid just wants to die. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. And just so you know, when I'm preaching to the older teenagers, I will say, hey, girls, if anything, if any guy ever, ever requests anything like that, the first thing you do is you run to your dad. And you hope you have a really big dad, okay? And then I tell the boys, too. You get caught doing that? You get caught with any of these incredibly ungodly, immoral pictures on your phone? You get caught? You can be listed as a sex offender the rest of your life. You can choose your sin. But you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? Have you caught yourself being unkind or ugly to others? What sort of things are commendable? Have you kept a positive approach to life? What sort of things are excellent? Have you lost your spirit of excellence by giving in to sin? What sort of things are praiseworthy to God? Have you pleased God in what you say? This is Philippians 4, okay? Kara, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a great big poster. It's going to be pretty big. It's going to go in the refrigerator in the kitchen. And we're going to list each one of these simple principles. I'm going to put a little box by each one. Kind of like where you could put a check mark, okay? And Kara, I trust you. I do. But if you violate any of these principles from this verse, Mom and I are going to take your phone away for 2 months. No questions, no arguments. You lose it for 2 months. Folks, what did I just do? Most of our teens obey because of fear or love. They're either afraid of getting in trouble or afraid of the consequences, or they just love Mom and Dad so much they don't want to hurt you. What I have done is I've taken myself out of this. Now, Kara is answering to God, whether she chooses or not to obey the word of God. She's a junior in high school. 2 years from now, she's going off to college. There's going to be times when it's Kara, temptation, and God, and nobody else around. And that's when you have a tough decision to make. I want to prepare my kids to know that they are literally making choices to please or displease God with the use of their cell phone, and not just the fear of losing your phone, okay? Don't let no one look down on you because you're young. Set an example for all believers in love. Charity is what the verse said, and a spirit of genuine concern for others rather than self. How do we deal with selfishness in our digital world? What are we talking about? iTunes addicts, Xbox junkies? And I love music, and I'm not against games. But they are so controlling. So controlling. And they can be dealt with and they can be fun and we can give time limits and all that. In loneliness of mind, humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, don't be selfish, but every man also on the things of others. So, another word for selfishness in the Bible is what? Tell me. What's the word? It caused an angel to become a devil and a king to become a wild animal. Got it, pride. Pride and selfishness, the same thing. Selfishness seems like a kinder way to say it. God resists who? The proud. He only gives his grace to whom? The humble. We must do everything we can to teach our kids humility and not to be selfish. And with the phones, oh, every single one of us can be incredibly selfish with our time and with our information. So here's some questions to ask. And when I say being plugged in, that could be your computer, that could be your iPad, that could be your phone. Here's a question. Does being plugged in and connected disconnect you from your family? does it. Somewhere I went to eat and stepped into a restaurant. I saw mom come in with three daughters. I thought, oh, that's sweet. They sat down the table right next to mine. They didn't even sit down. When the three girls yanked out their cell phones, one of them put headphones on, she's sitting there going like that. And the other two are totally ignoring mom. Mom's just sitting there staring. Sad. Isn't that sad? And we do it at home. And we got to interrupt each other to get you off your phone so we can communicate. Does being plugged or connected disconnect you from your God? And I'm not even saying, I'm not saying you have to have like equal time, okay? Now, I'm about to say something. I am not here to offend anybody. I'm not. I just have seen what this is doing to our teenagers, our college students. I have the privilege of speaking to a lot of colleges. And you know what they do? They pretend that they have their Bible on their phones while they're on Instagram and play Wordle. Yeah. You ever try to take notes with a ballpoint pen on your cell phone? It doesn't work. How can you put that, sorry, Lord, I want to change in this, right next to that verse that the pastor's preaching on? I encourage you. They have these new things. They're called books. They're called paper. They're called Bible. And you turn pages. It's really, really cool, okay? I will say, Pastor, I don't know how to invent it. Maybe when you were smarter than me. You know, if you grab your phone, if I can take your phone and I can look up the screen time, I can tell you how much time, Kara, you spend on the phone all week long. I want to develop one of those for our Bibles. So I open up and it tells you how long you're in your Bible, which day, how long of a span. I don't know how to do it, but it'd be pretty cool. It's actually already done. God knows. And he loves it when we spend time with him. You compare your entertainment time. And this is the part I struggle with teenagers today. Amusement. Excuse me. Not muse to think. And the video games, the movies, the YouTubes, all this that we are all constantly being drawn to, they're amusement. You don't have to think, okay? So then you go to a verse in Ezekiel. Well, I'll ask the question I asked the teens. What was the sin of Sodom? And immediately we have something certain in our minds, don't we? That was, the immorality was not the sin of Sodom. That was only a fruit of the immorality. This is the sin. This is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. They were selfish. They had everything they needed, nothing to do. And that's a recipe for disaster for our kids. That's why we have to work hard to teach them to put time limits. Give them screen time, 30 minutes a day. Fine. Let them play a game right after supper. No problem. But not where they're constantly on. Let your kids learn how to read books. They still have libraries in our world today, okay? You gotta keep going. Be here all night. Just being plugged in or connected. Consume all your time for family, friends, or God. Isn't it easy to fall into that trap? Now, I'm going to slide in here. It's not all bad. I'm on the road a lot. I love FaceTime so I can talk to my wife and kids and actually see their face. Or my wife say, oh, please, just call me, okay? I don't want FaceTime tonight, you know. And there's a lot of great benefits. I get to text my friends all over the world. Hey, dude, what can I pray about for you today? It's wonderful. But it also can be used in a bad way. Finally, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for all believers in purity, integrity, and control over the desires of the flesh. How do you guard your purity? Dad? Grandpa? Grandpa, isn't it interesting that the busyness of life while you're working and hardly have time to breathe, and you do this thing called retire, and now you have free time? Many don't, but many do. And I don't know what to do with that free time. It is so easy to get sucked into this stuff. So what does the Bible say? Before we look at that, cell phones, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, game systems, all of them. Peter says, dearly beloved, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, it's a great study. Strangers don't belong there. Pilgrims don't feel at home there. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, right? Don't get so comfortable that when the Lord returns, you say, wait, Lord, till I get my phone. Please don't do that. Leave it. Abstain. That word means stay as far away from as you possibly can. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which literally war against the soul. And it is war. Big time. And if you have kids that you love and teens, you need to ask them these questions. Are you communicating with people that you do not know? Would you let a complete stranger come and knock at your door and say, hey, can I step into your kid's bedroom and sit down and talk to him for a couple hours? No! But we do it with phones. And it kind of goes along with this next one. You're accepting unsuitable friends to make you question your authorities or even your faith. We've all faced this in some way or another. Oh, you go to that Baptist church and they tell you Jesus is the only way. Come on. It's the same God, whether it's Buddha or whatever. Don't believe all that. They're going to do this. Are you advanced enough in apologetics to be able to basically debate or even argue with these individuals that are trying to undermine your kids' faith? Are your kids advanced enough in apologetics? They can explain why they believe what they believe and are not willing to turn back on it? Do you see why it's scary? Yeah. Are you becoming more and more accepting of the lewd and crude language? People ask me all the time, what's the difference between being a camp director in the late 70s and now 40, 50 years later? It's easy. Sin is not sinful anymore. It's not that bad. Maybe it's not as sinful in our eyes, but it's still just as sinful in God's eyes. And Jesus still died for our sins, didn't he? Are you playing games that are full of nudity, crudity, and graphic violence? Games that you have to think sin in order to win. I think the one that's probably the most popular in this is a game called Grand Theft Auto. I've never played it. I've studied it. And from what I understand, you have to, in the game, kind of pretend, you have to break at least 7 of the 10 commandments in order to win that game. You say, man, stop! It's a game! I know! But the Bible says a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we're thinking today will probably become part of our lifestyle later on down the road. Did you realize that during World War II, and partially even into Korea, and even Vietnam, I don't know the exact statistics I did at one point, but it's something like only like 32% of the men ever shot their guns. And then all of a sudden we go to Iraq and stuff, and it's up to 93%. Why? Something called operant conditioning. They had to fix this. They needed something. So long before you could buy them and put them on your phone, the government had video games that taught men to do headshots, and they practiced with computers shooting until it was just normal for them to do so when they go to war. And if our kids are constantly battling in this way, okay? Are you downloading any music that exalts music groups or musicians that love what God hates and hate what God loves? And I didn't even mention the music style. I'm talking about what they're really... Music is a great big pulpit to preach philosophies. And some of the most popular singers today are blasphemers, and they hate our God. And we don't seem to care. And it fills our kids' phones and their lists. Are you viewing YouTube videos that are inappropriate? Are you saying yes to the constant advertisement for wicked sites. Has your cell phone become a tool for temptation? Are you struggling every day to keep your thoughts pure? And for some reason, we adults think, oh, these poor kids, how are they going to make it through? I have more kids come to me telling me about a problem with this with their parents. What do you do when you have a kid that comes and says, I don't know what to do when I go home? Because, okay, sometimes my dad's in his office, and when I get home from school, I sneak around and I bang on the window and scare him. And he literally falls out of his chair sometimes. And the other day I went to bang on the window, but I looked through and saw what he was watching, his computer. And I didn't know what to do, and I went and got Mom. By the time we got down the hallway to my dad's office, of course he always has the door locked, but when we got in, he denied everything. But Rand, I know what I saw, and I don't know what to do. A teen girl comes to me, she says, Rand, please help me. I was sitting doing homework, homeschool, and looked across, and there was my dad. And he had that terrible stuff on his phone. And so I said, Dad, what are you doing? Quick, put away. He says, oh, nothing. It was just a pop-up I was trying to get rid of. She said, I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't want to be disrespectful to my dad, but my problem is he's my pastor. How can I sit in church and listen to what he says? I was preaching at a church, and the pastor said, help us, please. Young couple, I think they're 23, 24. Been married 2 years. Husband comes home from work. His wife was, he thought, at work. Oh, no, he thought she got home before him because her van was gone. And when he went in, there was a note. I'm so sorry, I met somebody online. I've left you. The young boy sat down. He just started weeping. The phone rang. It was his father-in-law, his wife's dad. Hey, kids, Mom and I thought we'd surprise you. We're dropping in this weekend. And obviously the boy said what the note said. And the dad said, I wondered. I was driving down the interstate. I thought I saw your car going up the other side of the interstate. He took the next exit, caught up to his own daughter. She didn't know it. He and his wife were in the car, but they followed her all the way until she took an exit, went into a Lowe's parking lot, pulled up to a white van. A guy came out. They began to embrace. And Mom and Dad step out. I will say at least this, because the embarrassment of the situation, she got in the car with her mom, and they drove off, and the dad took the other car and took care of things. Guys, do you think it'd be a little bit hard to trust your wife after that? Would it? And don't you think it'd be a little bit hard if she walks in the room, men, and sees you quick hide things? I'm your friend, okay? But if you don't think, man, woman, kid, parent, if you don't think other people are not noticing what you're doing, I'm sorry, you're nuts. You can build, just like building a bank account. You make deposits and make deposits and make deposits, and you can do that with a trust account. And you can bankrupt that in 5 seconds. So, 1 Timothy 4:12, Romans 9 through 12, Ephesians 5:15-16, Philippians 4:8, 1 Corinthians 6:12, 1 Peter 2:11. God has much to say in our digital world. And if you would like to, it's almost 7 o'clock. You want to start over? And I can go to Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. I can go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I can go and do it all over again with different passages of Scripture. I'm telling you, the Word of God is relevant. It really is. All Scripture is given by God. He breathed it. Why? He wants us to walk as mature children. And He'll teach us what is good, and He'll show us what is bad, and He'll teach us how to make the wrong right again, how to keep it right. But not unless you realize that this book has the final say in our lives, okay? It does. The final say. So let it be a part of your lives. Kara, we're going to let you have the phone at Christmas, okay? Maybe you already have one. I don't know. I'm just teasing. But I want you to make sure you honor Mom and Dad, but most of all, I want you to make sure that you honor God. Because he's the one that you have to stand before someday, okay? Folks, we can do this. We can do this. This is normal life, and it's just not, it's not as, we have to give the kids the why. If you just mandate what to put off and what to put on, you become kind of a dictator-type leadership, and you're going to be good until they leave home. But you teach them biblical principles, why we do what we do, then they can make decisions later on that will impact them and their kids, okay? Sweet. We good? Aren't you glad that God loves us? Let's sing. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Let's sing it one more time, only this time I want you to say you instead of me, and I want you to point to somebody different in the room every time you say you, but let's say the last one for Pastor Matt, okay? I am so glad that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I am so glad that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves even you. Pastor.